Hey, well, good morning again. Haven't seen you in a while. It's good to get the opportunity to preach up here this morning. Let me pray for us again as we go into this time. God, again, we say what a gift it is to be together, to hopefully hear from you, to learn more about what it means to be disciples, to learn more about what it means to be followers of the way of Jesus. And God, just send your spirit to speak to us as we gather this morning, to refresh our hearts and minds, and to lead us into your love and goodness that you have been working in the world since the beginning. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm back. I feel like I just preached recently. Is that true? It's only been like a few weeks. No? Alex says no. I think you were gone, pal. Anyway, well, this week we are continuing our series on Jesus, except for we're going to have a twist with it. We're going to start talking about what Jesus did or said about money. Oh, and there's only one story that came to mind when I was asked if I wanted to preach in this series. There's only one story that came to mind that I wanted to talk about. It's my favorite story that involves Jesus and money, but you're going to have to wait because I'm not going to tell you yet. But like, I mean, can we all agree that like discussing money is just like, wow, right? No? No? Yeah. Okay. I can't tell. Help me now. Be with me here. I'm just going to say it, even though it's a little inappropriate to say from the pulpit, but I'm going to say it anyway. Forgive me, Daniel. Talking about money, like discussing money just sucks. It's the worst. I don't want to think about money, you know, and like I have to think about money every other day, right? Don't you? Like we always are making money decisions and like have you ever heard like the common expression like, well, you know, money won't solve all your problems or money doesn't solve your problems. But like, have you ever thought like, money would literally solve 90% of my issues right now. Is that right? Anybody? I mean, it's like, literally everything I stress about right now, one way or another, revolves around money. And before you get too, like, churchy with me and, like, give me some, like, money is the root of all evil. That's not what Paul said. He said the love of money is the root of all evil. Okay, so calm down, everyone. Like money is a helpful tool in our society, right? It helps us do the things, that we need to do. And like, I don't want to love money. I just want enough of it that I don't have to stress about things all the time. Like, is that too much to ask? I guess so. But like, you know, like I feel like I could deal with that burden, right? Like I'm a decently good person, I feel like. I have a good head on my shoulders. I'm a hard worker. I got good values. I've got a good family. So I just want the money to be able to like support my family and to like take care of the things that are good in the world, right? Like I would be responsible with it. I feel like, Lord, if you need to send another challenge down my way, see if I'm the type of person that can deal with having a lot of money. And I won't get greedy or over my, like, I think I'm up for that challenge. Huh. Anyway. Do we feel that? Like, you know, I don't know. Like, money is a topic that's just like, I don't know about you, but I stress about it a whole lot more than I should. And it consumes more of my thoughts than I wish it did. Like, But too bad. We're going to talk about it anyway. And I guess you can leave if you don't want to hear it. You're welcome to do that, but we're going to talk about it. Okay. So now here's my story, okay? This is the story about Jesus where he tells us how we can get all the money that we need and not be stressed ever again. Oh, shoot. No, that's not right. Oh, no. Yeah, that story's not in there. That's right. Okay, never mind. Shoot. I had your hopes up there for a second. Sorry. There's that one about the one where he says, like, in this world you will have trouble. Oh, yeah, that one's in there. Okay. No, but here is my actual favorite story, okay? It's a story. It just so happens to also be my favorite piece of artwork, and I think I've got that for you guys to see. Well, it's part of it. Shoot. It must have been too wide. It didn't fit. The aspect ratio didn't fit. If you're able to shrink that, that'd be good. You're missing like a section over here on the left. But anyway, this piece of artwork is called The Tribute Money. And it is one of my favorite pieces of art, except for literally everything that my wife Jenny makes. Those are my real favorites. But this piece is my favorite from art history. It's depicted by this fresco by Masaccio that was painted in the 1420s. And this is about the story that I'm going to read to you, okay? So this is Jesus talking to a guy trying to collect the temple tax. So let me read the story for you out of Matthew 17. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma temple tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Well, yes, he does," said Peter. And when he came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. He said, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth collect duties and taxes? From their own children or from others?" Peter says, "From others, of course." "Then the children are exempt," Jesus said. "But so that we may not cause offense, go to the lake, throw out your line, take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4 drachma coin. Take it, and then you can pay for mine and your taxes." And that's what happens. So, I mean, you can't see it over here, but on the left here, Peter's fishing over there and pulling out a fish with a coin. So Jesus, do you guys know this story? This story is wild. So Jesus, this is what this painting is depicting. Jesus basically, in my opinion, just straight goes off here. He's like, "Okay, you want my money. That's cute. Here, how about this? You can have money, but like my father owns the fish." Right? He's like, who, why would you collect taxes for the Lord from the Lord? Right? He's like, he's kind of implying there that like, well, you know, whatever this is, but I can handle this. He says, "I guess I'll have to show you that not only can I procure my taxes, but also like I'm basically in charge of all of nature." And he goes and he just tells Peter to catch this fish that has a coin in its mouth. Now, I've been fishing a lot. In fact, I was just fishing yesterday, and I caught a few fish, and I'll tell you, ain't none of them have a coin in their mouth. Mark, you ever caught one with money in it? No, I haven't. No, I've never caught one. Now, I did recently see a fish eat a golf ball. Anybody else see that? Yeah, on like one of the PGA tours. That was crazy. Hey, there we go. Thank you. You guys are rock stars back there. Yeah, there's Peter catching a fish, pulling money out of its mouth. This is called The Tribute Money. It's my favorite painting. Anyway, so I've never seen money come out of a fish's mouth. As I just noted, though, I did see a golf ball recently once, so I guess that would have been shocking. But I digress. Okay. Somewhere in here I've got a point to all this. What is it? That's a pretty nice painting, huh? All right, I'll get to the point. Here's my point. It's pretty simple this morning. We all stress and toil over money and finances, and trust me, I am the worst. I get it. I stress over finances daily. I wish I didn't, but it daily. But the reality is the Lord our God owns it all. Jesus out here making money come out of fish. And that just doesn't happen. And I'm not trying to downplay the stresses. Like, it's important to work hard and to take care of your finances and to be prudent and to be wise. But at the end of the day, God is in charge of it all, and don't we trust that he is taking care of us? If he wants your taxes to come from a fish, he gonna make it happen. Now, I wouldn't bank on that, you know, come April. But if we're trusting and following in the Lord's will, he is going to take care of us. But, and I say that, all to say, but this is not an excuse for us to have laziness or apathy. One of my mentors used to always say, we do the possible so that God can do the impossible. A fish having a coin in its mouth is impossible. But Peter, trusting in the Lord and following after him and listening to what he said and going to fish, you know, can you imagine what Peter thought? Go catch a fish. He's like, coins don't come out of fish mouth. He's like, I've been done doing that. But he listened and he went and he did the work. He went and he caught the fish. So I'm not saying that could just like, you know, it's not like, oh, well, God's got it. I'll just sit on my heels and just whatever, you know, God will take care of it. As someone who ran a nonprofit for 10 years and was our chief fundraiser and who was solely supported by charitable giving, that expression, like, we do the possible so God will do the impossible, resonates with me beyond what I can even express. Like, there are so many times when when I really felt like we were doing what the Lord wanted. We were working and trying to follow after his leading and guiding, and things were always tight because it's a nonprofit and things are always tight in nonprofits. And time after time, somehow, we would see Jesus pulling coins out of fish's mouth, metaphorically speaking. I just want to note that I have never actually seen Jesus or a coin come out of a fish's mouth. But you get it, right? It's a metaphor. Like, God will provide in ways that we can't even fathom when we trust him, when we rely on him, when we do the possible, when we do the work, when we do the work that the Lord is calling us to and we seek to follow after him. And that's how I try to live my personal life too. I try to work hard and do everything I can to provide for myself and my family and to be generous and to do the stuff, right? Do the stuff in life that it requires of us to do with the money and resources that we have. And I try not to stress about it. I try to trust that God is in control and that he will provide, but it's not easy. It's not easy. Constantly, I get caught stressing about how to make things meet or how we're going to do this or how we're going to do this. But it's what I aspire to each and every day. I do believe in a God that is able to pull money out of a fish's mouth if that's what's required. If that's what it takes to provide, then I know that God's got me in the end. It's what I aspire to, and it's what I hope here at Meridian we aspire to. Each and every one of us, I hope that we can encourage and challenge each other towards this peace that passes all understanding if we will just trust in him. We as a collective community get to help each other out in this, to support each other. And that's what I think that we do here at Meridian as a community, is that's our goal, is to support each other and walk alongside and say, hey, you know, I know you're going through a hard time, but you know, God's got you. We have you. Speaking of Meridian, I don't know if you know this, but this place is not all too different from Dat House in as much as it is also an institution that survives solely on charitable giving from us, from all of us. And I think about that sometimes, and that's why, you know, as Emily did earlier, that's why we're constantly just thanking you for giving, because it's such an important part of who we are and what we're doing here. Like, none of this happens, this community that we have. I don't know about you, but I think Meridian's a pretty special place. Man, wow, yeah. Yeah, like, we get to come together as a community and support and challenge one another, and we have this unique culture that I've not seen in a lot of other places, and I'm pretty proud to be a part of this congregation. But just like Dat House, you know, just like any other church, you know, we're supported solely by the collective gifts that we all have, and none of it happens without that. So thank you. As Pastor Emily already said this morning, thank you so much for your gifts. If you don't currently give and you want to, if you love this place, if you believe in the mission that we're doing, you know, I pray that you'll give. Even if you're not sure. Even if you're trusting in God pulling out coin out of a fish in order to do that, it's important. It's important to support the place that we have here. It's important to support this mission that we believe in. I believe God has called us to do what we're doing, and he's going to provide no matter what. I stand by that. And most days, I try not to stress about it. I'm not successful all the time, but I sure do try. Friends, I'm going to wrap up, and I'm just going to ask that you would take rest, knowing that God is the Lord over all of our money problems and the fish of the sea. Who knows? Sometimes those aren't mutually exclusive. He may come around and pull money out of a fish for you. Has anybody ever got a gift that you weren't expecting that you thought, man, this is exactly what I needed to relieve whatever stresses you're dealing with? I know I have. Has anybody ever experienced a time when it's like, man, I don't know what's next. I don't know how it's going to work out. And then it does. I know I have. Our Lord is the God who can do that. He can provide for us. So let's commit to working hard with all of our might. Let's commit to doing the possible so that God can do the impossible. And I pray that as a result of today, you can go home a little less stressed. I know I'm sure going to try. I know I didn't help actually take your money problems away like I talked about at the beginning of the hour. That would have been great. But if you believe alongside me that the God who raised Jesus from the dead, fed the 5,000, healed the sick, and pulled money out of the mouths of a fish, if you believe alongside me that he's got you, I believe that we can all rest a little easier. He's willing to do the impossible to take care of you. So let's do the possible. Let's do all that we can to follow after him, to find his will, and to follow it. I want to close. I'm going to ask the band to come back up, and I want to close by sharing with you a prayer that I say. Now, I told you, I know maybe I don't seem like, maybe I don't seem like a stressed out person, because I'm generally not, or at least I don't project that. But I do, I promise you. I stress about things just like all the rest of you probably. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm laying in bed at night, it just comes, right? And you're like, man, I just can't go to sleep because it's just all, you know how it is, right? I mean, some of you are with me, right? Am I the only one that deals with this? Can't fall asleep at night because you're, okay. Well, never mind. No. But I have this prayer that I say, and it's from the Book of Common Prayer. And maybe it won't be comforting to you like it is to me. I don't know. Everybody has something a little bit different that comforts them. But when I'm laying in bed at night, unable to sleep, stressing about this or that, I repeat this over and over again, and it's very simple. So I'm just going to ask everybody to just, let's pray this prayer together. Close your eyes, bow your, whatever, however you want to get into a posture of prayer. And I'm just going to pray this over us a few times as we transition. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return to the earth. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Naked we came from our mother's womb, and naked we will return to the earth. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One more time, if you want to say it together, feel free. If not, it's okay. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return to the earth. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.